Would you welcome Michael Landon?
Did you ever get ever really plowed behind a mule or a horse before?
Did I ever get plowed behind a mule?
Did you ever?
No, I occasionally took a sip or two like Ed, but I never got plowed behind a mule.
Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Landon Nation. It's Kelly here with Mark.
Well, hello, Kelly. This is my new voice.
We're going to do a whole episode like that.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, how long could someone listen to that?
I'd listen to it all day.
We are diving into the world of Little House tonight. One of what I think is one of the best Michael Landon Little House episodes. It's a Paw-centric episode, and I love the episode. I think he's great in it.
Yeah, I think this is a really great episode. 100 Mile Walk. Keep walking.
And season 1, episode 3, and aired on September 25th, 1974.
Now, you and I have talked for hundreds of hours about various things. But this episode, when I was younger, was one of the ones that really stood out for some reason.
You know, it's actually really interesting because I was going to bring that up as well. I remember distinctly, like, when I was in, like, you know, middle school, like, watching this episode and just, like, remembering it. It was, like, one of those ones where, you know, when I hadn't seen it for a while, but then, like, when I saw it again, I just, like, remembered it. You know what I mean? I think even, like, when I hadn't seen the episode for years, I, like, totally recalled scenes from it. And it has, like, there's just something about it. It's just a really interesting episode. I think it's a really strong Paw episode. We're very early in the series, of course, which I was thinking about it, too. I was like, this series had a really strong start because it's, like, you have the pilot, which is really great. You have Harvest of Friends right before this. That's a really good episode. Also a really good Paw episode, so I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point.
Yeah, I love Harvest of Friends.
And then we have this episode. So it's, like, three right in a row. It's like, wow, what a show. You know, like when you're just starting off, like really, really, really solid episodes.
But, you know, looking back, this episode in particular would become like kind of a thing I would say to people, even like in high school. I would say things like, if people are like, I can't walk, it's so long. I'm like, look, if Charles Ingalls could walk 100 miles for work. Yeah. I really would say this stuff. And it would like, and it was like when I was more comfortable with the fact that I was a Little House fan and I wasn't being judged as well, not to my face. And I just thought it was kind of, you know, thinking back to that, I've been saying that for a really long time. And
And I do find Paw pretty inspirational in this episode.
He's like, you know, it's so easy to, you know, make this comment and have it sound very sexist, but he's like a man's man for this. Like his role, you know, back in 1874, whenever this is, you know, his role was to be the provider, right? The mother's role was to take care of everything else, right? Like basically can, you know, do the whole household, absolutely everything, and deal with, like, you know, making soap that'll make you go blind if you get splashed in the eye. But you know, he couldn't provide. So it's like, what does he do? He drops everything. And he's like, well, I'm just going to keep walking until I get work because I have to. And it's like, you know, I guess that's the most stereotypical man thing that I can think of.
I think that he, I agree with what you're saying. And I think that he, well, I mean, like his whole show, he kind of was trying to, you know, really like uphold kind of these ideals, you know, like kind of family ideals, which I'm not saying that like it necessarily is right that you're like the whole man's man thing. I mean, I think the way that we view families and stuff, it's a little bit different now, you know?
Yeah, of course. You know,
it's just like the idea though of the, like, you know, him being kind of like the ultimate provider and, you know, like the focus really is on the family, not on like material possessions and stuff like that. And I mean, like, I think really, the basic idea of that, even though like kind of the way that kind of like some points of ideals have changed, I think the basic idea of that, I think, is still really like an ideal that people would agree is good. And I mean, a lot of people too, like Little House, you know, like people online and stuff, when they talk about it, they talk about how Little House like kind of gave them this like ideal, like what families like could or should be like, because, you know, maybe they didn't have a great family, you know, maybe their situation was not that great.
There is role reversal over time. I mean, Caroline goes to war. You know,
right. Well, you know, and then, I mean, the show actually does do stuff that it's like, I mean, yeah, women are like married and pregnant and teaching, but like in real life,
yeah,
that was not allowed, you know, like in the 1870s, like it was only single women. Like as soon as you got married, you were like not allowed to teach. So like the way that they portray it is not actually accurate to the time, of course, but yeah, I mean.
So today I was telling you earlier, I was talking to Dean Butler, because that's mm-hmm. kind of what you do on a casual basis when you're a Little House fan, right?
Yeah. But,
and it's always very strange whenever I speak to any of these people. But he gave this like great little speech, because I was asking him questions about the Simi Valley 50th anniversary, and he's like, oh, I can't talk about this anymore. Just like all of us, right? Mm-hmm. At least me. And he went on this like kind of rant, which I thought was really great, and I'm going to I'll pull it and send it to you sooner than later. But he's just talking about Michael Landon, his legacy, and what he did for everyone, and how much he appreciates it, you know, on an individual basis. And I thought, wow, like, I really like what he's saying. You know, it sounds to me like Dean Butler's heart's really, really in the right place when mm-hmm. it comes to kind of paying tribute and really appreciating being a part of the Little House on the Prairie universe.
Yeah, which That's is all. Pretty cool.
I don't think everyone feels that way. Some, right. I mean, most do, I think, but some I don't think do, and I'm not going to point fingers at any of them, Matthew Labrador. And
well, I'm just kidding. You know, and some people kind of like controversial things, and
yeah, some people like the gossip, and some people
kind of stir the pot or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, like as far as I know, there's no like saucy moments in Dean's book.
Okay. You know, one thing that I kind of, and I don't know like how he talks about it in his book, but I think I saw like some reference to his book pop up online, and like how he was writing something about like the scene when like Almanzo and Laura kiss for the first time. Mm-hmm. So like kind of a pet peeve of mine, everybody talks very widely about how that's like the first kiss, like yes. like her first kiss in real life.
100%. Yes.
But I'm like, but what about in season 4, mm-hmm. the rivals, she kisses Jimmy Hill.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, this was not her first kiss. So it kind of like pisses me off. People say that it is all the time. And if I recall correctly, like Melissa Gilbert even talked about it in her book, like mm-hmm. it being the first kiss. And I'm like, but it like wasn't though. I don't know.
What was the name of her first kiss? I forget it. You just said it. Jimmy Mill?
Jimmy Hill. Yeah, that was the one that she put the apples in her dress yeah. for.
But there was also another kiss. The kid who she was teaching to sign.
Oh,
that was
Daniel?
A stolen kiss, you know?
Yeah, that's right. He did kiss her.
Was it romantic? Yeah. No. But
no, that's not the point. But it was like not wanted and stuff. But yeah, that did happen. You're right.
Yeah. So
last time I saw that episode, Pete was like, he kind of looks like Kelso. Like, I was Kelso. Like, he kind of does.
That's funny.
Yeah. But anyway, so like I think that but the, sort of a related vein, and we will get into the episode eventually, but you know, this is Landon Nation, so we're mm-hmm. talking about all things Michael Landon, right?
Third kiss.
So in the the like Little House Reddit thing that I go on sometimes, just I don't really participate, but I just sort of like see like, you know, what people are saying and stuff. And there are a lot of people on there that they have like these takes that I'm kinda like, whoa, like what is this? Like mm-hmm. Pretty much unanimously, people seem to hate Albert on there, which I think is crazy because I love the character.
Yeah,
Albert.
Me too. I do like the character a lot.
But a lot of people on there are actually kind of like anti-Paw or like anti-Michael. I don't want to say they're like totally anti-Michael Landon, but you know, they're like not exactly like fans of him like we are, I guess. Mm. You know, like they kind of like criticize him a lot. Like, have even gone so far as to like they don't like scripts written by him. Like, you know, so like they just are like not really fans that much, I guess. And people complain a lot that they think that the character of Pa like, is too perfect on the show. So, like, they're like, oh, he can't even have, like, one flaw. Like, he has to be so perfect. So I'm like, I wouldn't say.
He has tons of flaws. I mean.
Yeah, right. I'm like, what do you mean no flaws? Like, I was like, he has flaws. Like, he, like, screws stuff up. He has, like, a temper. He jumps the gun. Like, he causes issues for his family.
He's poor. Like, he's, like, what? Like.
I mean, like, Ma, remember that time that Ma had to, like, quote the Bible to get him to help dry the dishes?
You know, yeah, you know, you're right. Yeah, it's pretty bad when you have to, like, go to the Bible and quote things to guilt somebody. But what about, like, all right, so Charles Ingalls, he inherits all of this money, right? And it ends up being worthless.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, the worst and then story. And I mean, like, he, so everybody kind of talked him into spending the money and everything.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, ultimately he did do it, you know, like, he, he could have been a little wiser about it. He definitely let it go to his head.
Mm-hmm. Cash on the barrel.
Oh, and then, like, he's inconsistent with his children, too. Like, he wouldn't let Laura get married before she was 18, but, like, Mary gets engaged when she's, like, 13. No problem.
Mary's a big pain in the ass.
Yeah, he's just like, I want to offload her.
Exactly. That's what I think. Maybe we should do in the future, like, kind of like a three-part palooza of Laura's first real kisses.
Oh, that would be pretty funny. Well, and you know that actually that episode when she teaches, like, the deaf kid.
Yeah.
There's a bonanza like that where little Joe teaches this deaf woman sign language. And then she, like, falls in love with him. So it was like one of those plots that was recycled. So
maybe we should just kind of bring it into a big palooza.
Yeah. Recycle a palooza.
Recycle a palooza. So yeah, 100 mile walk, 100 mile walk, September 25th, 1974. It's a third episode. This does not feel like a third episode. It feels established.
Oh, it feels so established.
Yeah. By the end, the formula is already there and it's solid. It makes you really wonder, like, how sure Michael Landon was of himself with this show. Like, was he like, this is going to be a complete winner?
I mean, like, I feel like, and maybe one of the reasons why the episode is so, like, memorable, even though it's, like, very, very early, it feels like you, like, already know the family. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's very early, but, like, you can just, like, watch it, and it's, like, you totally just feel like, I know what this family is all about.
Harvest of Friends feels the same way, and whenever I watch Harvest of Friends or 100 Mile Walk, I need to remind myself that this is in the first six episodes.
Yeah. Well, and then, I mean, I've said this before too. Like, I think that, like, Harvest of Friends and 100 Mile Walk are, like, two of the strongest episodes of the series, honestly. I think they're both really great. Hmm. And of the first season, I think that they're just, like, probably, I mean, there are a couple episodes in the first season I think are really good, but I think they're, like, might be two, like, the two best, I think, in the first season. I've said this before that sometimes with, like, the earlier Little Houses, I mean, like, I like them. I find them all watchable, and I like the the whole show. But I do kind of tend to like the middle seasons a little bit better.
Yeah.
Just because, like, and I think kind of for a long time I was like that because some of the earlier ones with kind of more kid-centric plots, you know, I've never really been, like, into kind of, like, kid show stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Although now that when I watch them, like, as an adult, there are kind of, like, these, there are things from, like, the adults, you know, going on with the adults, you know, even in the kid plot ones that are, like, kind of interesting. But anyway, like, I think that these, for, like, the first season, which, I mean, like, I don't know, I haven't really systematically ranked what season I think is, like, the best to the worst. But generally, I would say the first couple seasons aren't, like, my favorite seasons of the show. But these episodes are, like, I think some of the best ones because they're just so well done.
You know, some people hate that final season. And I think there are so many really good episodes in it, and there's a lot of duds.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of hit or miss. Mm-hmm. The quality, I think, is kind of inconsistent because there are some where you're just like, man, what is going on here?
Right.
But then there are some that I think are really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I think if you just, like, don't watch it, you, like, but the thing is, even, like, the ones that are, like, kind of, like, bad are still kind of good, you know? Like, For the Love of Blanche is kind of, like, a bad episode, but it's, like, funny.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty funny episode.
So, you know, when Mr. Edwards leaves the monkey hooch at his house while he goes to the post office.
Gets wasted.
Yeah.
The monkey's like, he puts on like a turntable and he's like,
yep.
Yup.
That could be a good Mr. Edwards song.
Instead of replacing his old Dan Tucker.
Yeah, exactly. Would we review the pilot as Paul playing that on the violin as he goes away? We need to replace it with Hi.
We need somebody to re-record it, like in the style of him singing it.
That would be amazing. Like,
that would be actually really funny. But let's get into this episode. All right, let's see. We're looking at the grain and the, I guess just grain. I almost said corn. And Charles is really just seems like he's really happy. This is me when I get my first tomato in the garden. It's like, I'll never have to go shopping again.
Self-sufficient.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where I take my phone out and I take a picture of my hand holding one, holding the only tomato that will be harvested that summer.
He's squeezing it.
Thank you, Lord.
I would have liked it if he had like a Long Island accent there. Thank you, Lord. And here we
are. Not for nothing.
And as you, not for nothing, this is a pretty damn good harvest. So we have Pa's album cover here.
Yeah, I always think that when I watch this, like it just totally looks like this could be like his album cover. Or maybe it would be like the back of the album. You know?
You know, I'm looking for a particular song that I think would be really suited for this. Let's just see if I can find it.
You have one in mind?
Yeah, I do. And,
I like it.
But I might like it. I say this in every episode. I have to organize these so I can find them when I'm, you know, looking for them. I don't know if this is...
She's got the leprosy.
No, that's not it.
She's got the leprosy.
Oh, here we go. I got it. It's pretty good, right? Here we go.
Thank you, Lord.
I love to change the... I was hoping it was going to be fun. But I don't know what to do.
So I'll leave it up to you.
That worked actually. When like the title of the episode came on, I'm like, dang, this is working.
And we are videoing it, so people will be able to see what we're looking
at. Good.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was good.
We have to really I think we'll be venturing into that a lot more in Land and Nation. A lot of weird music that just kind of overlays really interestingly, like Magical Mystery Tour.
I think we're getting like, we're getting a little creative for our podcast.
Do you see the picture?
Wow, look at Carrie.
She's feeling pretty good.
You know what song she needs right now?
Wait, first I need the screenshot. Oh, wait. I almost hit Ass Blaster there, but...
There is a
she's hilarious. That's really funny.
100 acres of wheat ready to harvest. Come on, everybody, write that down. 100. And it ought to yield
like
about.
You're gonna do math for fun. Let's go.
You know what? When you're talking about money, it is fun.
Oh, 35 bushels today.
Have we ever seen them use this to spin yarn?
I don't think so. I feel like I did. doesn't Ma do it in one of the episodes? Am I making that up?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen them.
The Anchor?
It's a show. It's just for show. It's like to kind of finish the whole like frontier look of the place.
And right now, wheat's selling for just around 75 cents a bushel.
And right now, just
the way. Oh, you know what I think I just realized, though? Well, so this is like the third episode, but I forgot that Country Girls was in there. So that must be not including the pilot, because it goes pilot, Country Girls, Harvest of Friends, and then this, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I just had to correct that because I was like, wait a minute, I forgot about Country Girls.
And even Caroline is like,
how much money is that?
I've got it. So have I. $2,625.
It would have been funnier if they said something even more ridiculous. You know, like $23,000.
Well, so they've been going to school for like, what, a couple episodes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, since September 11th, actually. It's when the show aired. I mean, the show's only been on the air for 2 weeks, but somehow we are on. Yeah, the third episode. That makes sense, right? Does it? Yeah, it makes sense. Because this is the...
Because it would have been like the 11th, 18th, then probably what, the 18th, and then the 25th.
Yeah.
Right.
It's almost too wonderful to be true.
Oh, it is.
If you only knew, darling.
Do you know what that will mean for us?
What? New dresses for my girls to start with. Nice warm coat for you. Curtains for the windows.
Boots for you. The very first nickel we spend goes on boots.
Easy, lady.
What's the matter with these? They're just starting to get comfortable on me.
Poverty's hilarious.
Little wink. Do you see that little wink?
Yeah. Poverty is fun.
I was afraid one morning you were going to pull them up and they'd slide clear up to your knees.
Come on. Let's make a list. Everything we need. Start right out with... Dresses for you girls.
Shoes for everyone. That's a must.
All right.
Now, this is a lot of money, right? I mean, it's over $2,000. I mean, I don't remember him making this kind of money in later seasons. We weren't talking about this kind of money.
So this morning when I was getting ready for work, because there's a Pluto channel with Little House Now. I told you about
that.
Yeah,
you told me.
That's like
awesome.
A nice 24/7 option for Little House.
What are they up to?
So, well, since it started, they're like maybe on their third run through now, you know, they just like cycle through the seasons in order. So this morning it was Gold Country, which I really like that episode at the end of season three. They rent that place in town there and the rent is $100 a month.
Wow.
Which is a ton, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a lot of money. I mean.
Yeah. And he like doesn't even bat an eye at it, basically. Like he's like, yep, okay, sounds good. It's pretty crazy.
Was the place kind of big? I don't remember it.
I mean, it's bigger than their house here, but most houses are, right?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I mean, like, it just was kind of like a... it wasn't, like, really elaborate or anything, but it was, you know, just like a house.
My first apartment was, like, $700 a month.
I guess it was, like, you know, big enough that the Edwards and the Ingalls, you know, could all live in it.
Imagine living with the Edwards, with just Isaiah.
Well, I mean, so maybe I'll go to my trusty inflation calculator. So what year would that have been? Season three? I mean, I know they're not real consistent, but let's say...
Well, that'd be like $2,000, right?
Let's say let's say it's 1876. So $100...
We need like a clip where it's like...
So it's like $2,882 today.
It's kind of a lot of money. That's a lot of rent.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was just like surprised that he just paid that like so readily on there.
Like, there are a few houses that in my town that are rented or something, or maybe never rented, but I think like they're up there like about 4,000, but that's a whole house, you know?
Right.
So that's a lot of money.
And what they're talking about in this episode. Is like over $75,000 today.
It's crazy.
Which is actually pretty good. I mean, like, if you think about that in terms of like salary, right? Because that's basically what it is. I mean, like, that's like pretty decent.
I mean, it's definitely more money. Like, if you said, like, well, Charles Ingalls makes $75,000 to $80,000 a year. Like, well, all right. I could see, like, you know, they're not driving around in Mercedes or anything like that. But, you know, they're driving around in regular cars and they're living a normal life. But,
you would have, like, you know, you could have a comfortable life. Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't be broke, in my opinion. You know, but I don't know. I guess it's pretty subjective. Some people would probably consider that to be broke, but I know how to eat macaroni and cheese. I know how to get by, y'all. So it's, but yeah, they're really just spending the money before it's spent. We get these great shots of the little house. Boop, boop, boop. And I feel like...
Ooh, I feel like they have a little friend with them.
Well, I feel like every time we see him, I wonder if, like, we should just be like... Jack!
That is what I was picturing, yes. Yeah. You're like...
Won't you tell us, Pa? Please? Jack! Jack! Jack!
Oh, Charles.
So you point out, he brings out a horse. It doesn't really look like there are other horses.
No, I don't think it is. And then he goes to town because the other horses have white on their faces and mm-hmm. these ones don't. But when he goes to town and he returns them to Lars Hansen, so mm-hmm. I guess then he ends up getting different horses, right? Like in the future.
Yeah, these are really nice. I mean, the hair looks like kind of curly-ish.
Yeah, I kind of like the other horses better. The ones with the white on the face, I think, are a little cuter.
But. Not me. These are real horses. other ones suck.
Yeah. What do you know?
I quit. You know what I would name this horse? Jack. I would. I would name that horse Jack. Jack.
This is like a Jack cast. We're going to have like a whole, we're going to start a third podcast.
We're all jacked up. So, so there's a lot of stuff going on. The wind is out there and we hear Andrew in the background.
It was a big storm. Yeah.
For some reason, that clip is low and I cannot get it to be louder for the life of me.
I'm kind of surprised the Chateau band's not around. You know, they like to play storm. In stormy conditions.
Well, maybe they're playing when he looks out the window.
Okay, that worked really well.
What's the matter?
For nothing. Just a little rain. We could use it.
She's like, sounds more like golf, you know, baseballs. Girl, like, what happened to your hair, Carolyn?
Okay, so her, in the early season, like season one or whatever, she has short hair, and you can really tell in these early episodes how she had the short hair, and then they use, like, the hair piece. So, like, at the top, like, that's, like, her real hair, which is short. So, mm-hmm. it kind of is, like, not, like, sticking up, but, you know, like, it's not, like, weighed down by, like, real hair, right? So, mm-hmm. it's, like, kind of, it looks poofy.
I think that Karen Grassi looks good with short or long hair. But I think that they did a really good job when her hair looks long.
Yeah.
It looks
yeah.
good. I think Charles's hair is a little bit longer.
What about the wheat?
That's real good for the wheat. How's it standing? Soak it real good.
Sure is. It sure is.
Took a little fire there. Make you some coffee.
Because that's what people do in the middle of the night. They drink coffee.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I get it.
She looks really yeah. young.
Yeah. Here. Yeah, this is like, it's very, really tense.
I think that he pulls this off really well. Like, his acting, I think, is great here, because, like, he has the whole, like, he's visibly worried, but he's trying to talk himself out of it kind of thing.
And it's so out of his control, of course. And yeah, he's not, he, you know, a lot of, I think a lot of men would, I'll say men, but, you know, women, of course, you know, in a role where a lot of pressure is being put on them, of course, would just kind of completely lose their crap and, you know, blame other people, or, you know, get way too drunk, or, you know, like, do crazy, crazy things. And Charles is like, all right, you know, just kind of keeping it together.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
That's good. Use some rain. As long as it doesn't soak that field so much, we can't get Mr. Hess's new Reaper in there.
Side note, one of the things I think is really interesting, since we were just seeing the fireplace, in these really early episodes, it's so clean. But, you know, in the later episodes, like, you can see it get all, like, black.
I'm going to get to it. I'm just going to pause it so you can see what you're talking about.
Look how clean it is. Because then, like, in later seasons, it's, like, black, basically, you know, like, with use and stuff. Anyway, I think the progression is kind of...
No, I think it's nice. And for a while, I was watching it, and I was like, I bet you they change it out at some point, but I don't think they do. It just gets older and older. And that's his little weed stash right there.
Yep.
You know, maybe we should have, like, Pa's weed stash pouches.
I was actually thinking it would be really funny if he stashed it, like, in the skirt of that, like, boutique thing.
That'd be awesome. Like, unscrews in its little jar.
As long as it doesn't soak that field so much, we can't get Mr. Hess's new Reaper in there. It's got a new McCormick Reaper. I tell you about it?
Yes.
But please bore me again with the details. Poor Charles. Hey, look who it is. It's a...
Jack!
Aw.
Oh, he's afraid of the storm. Poor dog.
You know what's interesting about...
Jack!
His eyes is they're huge. He has huge, huge eyes.
Yeah, he does. He's just having, like, so actually the trauma is not the storm itself, but that he remembers how he has always been forced to, like, walk behind the wagon and couldn't go in the wagon when it was storming and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, he's like,
Jack!
He has PTSD.
I promise.
Whoops. As a matter of fact, this is Laura telling Jack, like, holding on to Jack as he's sinking into the water.
Oh, Jack! Jack! There's a boat! Jack!
He'll need a boat.
Yeah, right.
Where's this boat that you're telling me about? We get a great shot of Carrie's wall that probably leaks in this kind of weather.
I would think so.
That would make me cry. Yeah, so it's just super noisy. Charles goes to investigate. One of the things I always think about right before the scene is, you know, when you have to just do something really kind of crappy, like, whether it be, like, you know, tell an employee that they're doing something wrong, and you have to have that serious conversation, you know, and right before you do it, you kind of, like, think of, like, all right, this is what I'm, at least I do. I kind of work it through in my head, and you have to imagine that he knows that when he opens the door, Caroline's going to be sitting there.
Yeah.
And the kids might be there, and he needs to put on a face. So,
So
he's like, okay. You're still up? Oh, great.
Hit a copy. It'll do that to you.
Got pretty cold out there, I'll tell you. The coffee's going to taste good.
I can go for a little late night coffee. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right, because it's, like, instead of our normal 2 hours, we're going to have, like, a 5 hour.
Hey, are you off coffee? I mean, I don't know how, you know.
I have, like, 2 small cups a day.
All right.
Yeah. So that's like kind of the, I guess the recommended, like it's like to not go over 2 cups a day. So I would be like non-functional if I couldn't have any at now, all, you know, like I would just.
Down there, you have 7-Elevens, right?
Yes.
All right. So you ever go into a 7-Eleven, you see those huge jugs that people buy for some, like trucker yeah. size. It's like literally a gallon of coffee. I picture you having two of those.
Oh, no, like actual cups.
It's a cup. It's a cup. It's a big one. Yeah, I ventured into, we bought a Keurig machine, like, and mm-hmm. I don't know, like, it makes really good coffee in comparison to everything else I was using. So mm-hmm. I bought, like, the little refillable thing because I'm like, I'm not buying these things. And
yeah, it makes really good coffee. We have used Keurigs, like, you know, we've, for a long time, actually, like, we used a Keurig and we even, like, went through a couple of them.
Yeah.
But we've been using just, like, the pot thing, you know, for, like, probably a couple of years now, but. The Keurig, like we liked, and I do think it makes really good coffee, but we were drinking like so much coffee between the two of us. It just was like easier to just make a pot and keep like pouring from the pot instead of like
make a cup, drink a cup. It's just funny. Cause I was like, what's that? Like it's a new invention to make a pot of coffee. Okay.
I was making that cowboy coffee actually.
Oh, that'd be nice. Nice. You chew that actually.
The storm's about over.
It was a big storm.
It's like you just know that, like, she knows that the weed is gone.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, the way that he's acting, like, so obviously trying to, like, put on a good face. It's like you just know that she knows that it's coming.
I'm surprised she didn't approach him and just kind of call him out and just say it's okay type of thing. Like, I can kind of see that happening with these two.
The weed's gone.
Well, it's still out there. It's just ruined. It's terrible. We have already fallen in love with this family, and we're already kind of going through these trials and tribulations with them. It's kind of amazing. And yeah, 50 years later, this is still like it resonates with people in such a great way, I think. What do I know?
I love the way that he handles himself in that scene. That, mm-hmm. And like when he says that line about like, oh, I guess we're just back where we started. I'm like, aww.
Yeah.
I just love it. Like, and I think that he pulls it off so well. I mean, his acting is so good in this scene.
I'll play it.
Nothing to be solemn about, I guess you. Might say that we're back where we started. I mean, it's just one harvest. Now, what's one harvest in a man's life, huh?
And let's compare where they were living, like in Kansas.
Yeah, they're above where they started.
Yeah,
there,
completely.
I do like that sentiment of like, you know, it's just one harvest, you know, like it's just, you know, going to be a tough year. And it's like, yeah, that's really a good way to look at it, I think. But then it's like, do you know this is going to be like every year? Like, you're like always going to be losing your crops.
Always.
It's nothing.
It's 2600.
How did anybody eat? They're always losing their crops.
2600 nothings. They would eat cheap flour that was laced with anthrax. Well, not.
Well, and then plus those sheep. Remember the mutton, anthrax mutton.
Yeah, the mutton. That's why am I? I'm.
Oh sorry. Wait, the flour that was the typhus, I think.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Typhus. That's a good one. That's always a fun one. I remember during the whole pandemic, people were like, "You should cover that one." It's like, why do I want it? What? Eventually,
like, why do I want to talk about diseases?
Just look outside your door if you want to see this. You know, it's like crazy. All right, let's see where we are.
Mr. Brow.
So everybody lost their crop apparently, and everybody's going to Hanson.
There ain't no one for 50 miles around is going to make a crop. Well, I want to do something about it, but there's not anything that I can do. Except reap.
I can't speak for Williams here, But what I've got in mind is a business proposition. You loan me $200 and I'll pay interest.
Let me stop you right there.
Found it, man. That is just what I want to do. But I haven't got $200 to loan. And with no wheat to mill, I ain't going to get it.
In that big house he has? Isn't that $200 up there? I don't know if I believe that.
Well, he says he doesn't have $200 to loan.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good
point. That doesn't mean that he doesn't have $200.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so see, Charles needs to return the horses.
Charlie.
Guess that's about the quickest deal you ever made. Sell a team of horses one day, get them back the next.
Were they trying to make Charlie a thing in this episode?
Yeah, like he could have been a casual.
Lars calls him that, and Jack calls him that, but then that goes away pretty quickly.
Well, in the reunion episode, the
Class and he hated it when Dylan Hyde did it.
Yeah,
got but then like skin. Lars calls him Charles in most episodes.
Hmm.
It's weird that he calls him Charlie here.
Yeah,
I don't like that kind of deal,
Charlie.
Neither do I. Always dreamed of owning a team like this.
He already named one.
Jack.
Man can't keep what he can't pay for.
This is a classic, like, paw cash on the barrel type thing, right? Like, he's not there asking Lars to loan him money. He's all like, hey, I can't afford these horses anymore, so right. Here you go.
What are you gonna do?
I'll go looking for work like everybody else. Gotta have cash for winter.
They're bringing in that fake snow, whether we like it or not. So see, Charles packs up to go.
Whenever Caroline wears these like all white outfits, I'm like, no way, man. Like, how is that staying so clean?
It's so white. And she's touching that filthy, disgusting water jug.
Well, and it's like, what is she doing all day? I mean, she's doing a lot of housework. She's doing chores in the barn. Mm-hmm. I mean, no way could she wear white and it stays clean.
Well, just being Italian, like if I'm wearing white, I'm pretty sure there'll be a sauce stain on me at some point.
I don't think I even have to eat before I get a stain on a white shirt. Like, I just cannot wear white.
Right. I usually just pre-stain it.
There'll be a lot of men looking for work. Not many jobs around.
You will write to us?
Oh, yeah. I'll write you as soon as I get settled. I'd have to go as far as Sleepy Eye or Mankato, so it could be a while before that first letter comes.
That would be so nerve-wracking to me. Just, like, going long gaps of time without hearing anything, and you have, like, no idea what's going on.
I mean, and we're not talking, like, even 2 or 3 days, right? We're talking, like, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah, like, I just can't even imagine it.
And then you're kind of a slave to the mail system. So everybody's kind of watching him go off.
I thought it was funny that he kissed Laura and Mary, but then he just told Mary to kiss Carrie for him.
Let's maybe she has a cold.
Love you.
Was it before this? Oh, yeah.
Maybe she has COVID.
Yeah, Carrie is nowhere to be found.
Maybe the twins had, like, maxed out on their hours or something.
He even kisses.
Jack!
You can't kiss for me, huh?
Maybe she's napping, you know?
Mm.
So we watch him kind of walk away, and it's, you know, sad. You know?
I do think that she does a really good job of kind of portraying, like, you can tell that she's really affected, but she kind of always holds it together pretty well. Like, she doesn't, like, break down, like, the many times that throughout the series that he has to leave.
Yeah.
But you can tell that she's, like, affected really by it.
So we're watching him basically walk, you know, for this. But you were saying you think this might be a good replacement for it, so we'll... But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more than me.
I was just thinking that he's like walking to the beat. That's crazy.
I'm
the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you.
When I come home, I guess I can grab more. I have to grab more of these songs. That was pretty good.
I thought it worked. Yeah. Totally.
He looks at his feet. They're all like flopped up. And we meet pretty much one of the most animated characters to be introduced to the show, I think. You know, so comical, and he's like a comic book character.
Well, and that's another thing I really love about this episode is I think it's a great Michael Landon episode. His acting is great. I love the story. I love his character's demeanor in it. But I love the other characters that we get too, that yeah. he kind of teams up with. So just like all around, like everything about the episode, I think is great.
Yeah, me too.
I've got to be going, love, that's all. All right? One more time can't hurt, Peg. I'll be careful.
That'll be the day. You blow yourself to bits. More like it. See if I care.
Her eyebrows are very thin.
So, remind me what this guy's name is.
Jack!
I'll never let go. I promise. Jack! Jack!
There's a boat.
Jack!
Jack!
You'd care. I know you would.
Is that like our new sure did?
It's better than that because it's actually three different clips that I have here. This one is my favorite one.
Jack!
It just sounds like you impersonating her or something. Yeah.
There's a boat.
I like that part. There's a boat.
There's a boat. So we have, oh my God, what's this guy's, the kid's last name? Lance Kerwin, who's playing,
Jack.
Son.
Yeah.
And Lance Kerwin would grow up. He passed away a few years ago, actually.
Oh, what's too bad?
Yeah, I don't know what the whole deal was. I think Chris Cooling was involved in some type of fund to try to get money for something. That makes me seem really, really involved, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But no, it's kind of I think it's kind of a tragic story with him. Not 100% sure all about it, though.
Hmm.
But I kind of broke down their ages, which I think is kind of interesting, is that Michael Landon was 32 years old when this aired. And
I thought he was 38.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, well, I wrote 32. So.
You're just like Dorothy with the Gazette. Well, that's not how I wrote it. Jack, I wrote that he was 32.
Jack is 41.
Jack!
And we'll meet Jacob in a little bit, and he was 28, which I kind of have a hard time believing.
For the rest of my life. You. Can you manage the farm while I'm gone? Or will you have to hire help?
Oh. Never hire help. I could manage this farm as good as you. Maybe better.
Oh.
Oh. He's like a mini...
Jack!
All right, then. How about it?
All right.
So they're cute together. He's a fun dad.
I think, the family seems like they have a really fun relationship.
Yeah, like they kind of just goofing around constantly, which is really great. And so we see him walking.
Yeah.
And then as he leaves, his wife, of course, is like, I'll never let go, Jack. Okay, that hop was perfect.
The hop was in time, as you said. Whoops. The hop was like so hilarious.
That was great. Why does this keep working out so well?
Because it's meant to be.
I was pointing out, though, right, when you were rolling into that, that you missed the opportunity as he was leaving for his wife to be like, I'll never let go, Jack.
Go ahead, we can do it.
I'll never let go. I promise.
We have to like. Sometimes when I push the button, I go to a different page, and the clip has to continue playing, whether I like it or not. Jeez. All right.
That hop was too perfect, though. Yeah. I almost can't believe it worked out that well.
I feel like I can never, ever watch
like, this again. Like, replicate it?
No, I can never watch it again without thinking.
Oh. Because...
Right here. He's about to hop right here. So I just sit. See, we see if we can just do it one more time. People are like, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, that's why they have to watch the video when we put it on YouTube.
Yeah. 500 miles an hour to walk 500
more. The feet of man walks 1,000 miles. I think you missed the hop.
Yeah, I missed it. My mistake. All right, here we go. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more. The feet of man walks. Still pretty good.
It's still pretty good, but it wasn't as perfect as the first time.
Yeah, but we have it documented, so. I know I'm going to be the man. All right.
This is gonna have to flap, I guess.
No, it ain't. That's what I was trying to catch up with you for. Got a piece of raw idea. Ought to hold it for a while.
Hey. Yeah. That's good.
That's like 1874 duct tape.
It is so crazy, too, that all of these men are having to walk to go find work. Like, I just can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you're just walking 100 miles, you know, look at the mountains in the background.
Those classic Minnesota mountains.
Prairies. Those classic Minnesota mountains. We should write a song called Those Classic Minnesota Mountains. All right, so they become friends right away. This is... So Caroline is looking at the, you know, I guess what is left over from the crop, and it's all fallen. And it's kind of a cool shot, like physically, right? Like cinematically, it's just, we just didn't get shots like this later on in the show.
Yeah, we get a lot of these really kind of sweeping shots. You know what song would be really good in this part?
What?
I'd love to change the world.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I do want to just, as I'm looking for it, I want to say that they kind of missed an opportunity to fade from this shot right here to the to their mantle with the shepherdess, because she looks kind of like the shepherdess.
Yeah, that should be pretty funny.
So we might have to do that as well. Great. Another thing we need to do.
Yes.
So here we go.
We're going to start just like totally remaking the episodes. But I don't know what to do. So I'll leave it up to you. Population. That worked really well.
Yeah. How about this? It's weed.
So that's the thing about Land and Nation. It's a multimedia experience.
Yeah, like we're going to try to fuse classic rock and random clips. It doesn't have to be classic rock, right? Because it can just be like, welcome to the show, Kelly. it could be just a lot of different things.
And hopefully we get some of these videos out so people can appreciate our artwork.
You know, if YouTube will be cool about it, I'll put every single episode up. I promise. What's this? Oh, you know what this is? We're gonna try it one more time through it with another one more song, then we'll move on. I'm looking through. No. It's only the clip. I thought it was the whole song. Sorry.
I think we had the clip for Dr. Quinn cast because they kept looking through windows. And then we got it for that.
Well, in this, they're always looking through windows too. So. I'm looking through you. All right, so these guys are camping out like good scouts. They bring Jacob in on the mix.
Jacob Jacobson?
Is that his real name, Jacob Jacobson?
Isn't it? Well, look at Pa.
I liked you.
Hungrier than we were. Because he is hungrier.
Oh, yeah!
Come on. Join us. Just gonna go to waste. Unless you can figure out a way to put stew in your pocket.
It's like something from, like, King of Queens with, like, the dad going to, like, a party putting stew in his pocket.
Or, like, that episode of Seinfeld. Remember he wanted to eat the mutton, so he was, like, putting it in the napkins?
This is some good mutton.
What is mutton? I don't know. And I don't want to find out.
He's just spitting it all out. That's so nasty.
Thank you.
You cooked. I'll clean up.
I don't think I have to clean up.
Yeah, that opium,
the pipe, Jacob.
That opium's pretty good. I agree. We can make a lot of money with this. What is this? Screenshot Nation here? Like, hold on.
We just keep pausing at the perfect spot.
It's like Popeye or something. So yeah, they're camping out and they're talking about like what they're going to do. Everybody looks good in this shot, by the way. Everything is like that reflected light. I think it's daytime. Like this is like one of those high contrast shots. Because if you look through the bushes, you can see kind of blue.
Yeah, like there's daylight going on.
And sometimes this is done like, and it just looks wrong to me. The Waltons, for instance, I know you're not the biggest Waltons fan, but they do this a lot. And it just does not look good at all. Mm. But this looks pretty convincing to me. Basically,
Jack
says that he knows that they can get work as drillers, I guess. They
would what is the something Jack team, right? What is it called, though? Well, they're going to say it in the scene, I guess, when they say like what they are.
But you go to the quarry and you're basically drilling holes into, I don't even know what kind of stone this is. I mean, I guess they're blowing up for mines. I'm not sure what they're doing. Like, is this for the railroad?
I'm not sure. They never really addressed that part of it.
This takes me back to the summer I worked at the quarry. I'm just kidding. Basically, this is like the whole episode from this point on.
Swan Benson and Ruth Taylor. Best double jack team around here.
Double jack, yeah, that's what it's called. It's a double what?
Jack!
They're drilling holes so we can dynamite that big slab into pieces small enough to handle. Then the teams haul it up to the...
All right, so even as a kid, you probably the same thing with you. You're like, it's so tense to watch them do this because you're just like, it's going to slip and there's going to be blood everywhere. But no.
The railroad holds it off to where stonemasons will use it for bridge piers and buildings.
That is for the railroad. He just explained that.
Yeah.
Did we even watch the episode?
Yeah, I've seen this episode like 80 times. This is... This guy's like Chubby Almanzo right here.
Yeah.
It does look a little bit like
a team bubble. Man with a double jack. All he needs is a good...
Double what?
Jack!
The man holding the drill. Strong nerve.
That's single jack.
You're the single jack?
What if the hammer miss?
If the hammer miss... The man holding the drill will have to pick his nose with his elbow.
So So they sell.
That's really funny how he does that. I was just going to say, though, that another thing that I think, like, his acting is so convincing in this episode is, like, when he's watching the whole thing, you can see that he's kind of, like, gulping, and he looks, like, visibly nervous. Yeah, also kind of keeping it together, you know? I just think he's... I'm like basically fangirling over him in this episode. But I just think he does everything really well.
That's why we have London Nation. I still have the echo. London Nation. All right. So one of the things that is just kind of weird is I had to buy a hammer last summer, and I'm looking at hammers, you know, something you just never think you really have to buy. And I'm looking at a $400 hammer, and I'm like, why is this hammer $400? And even when I tell you why it's $400, it's still, you're going to be like, why is it $400? But it has a magnet in the front. So it essentially, a really strong magnet. So you can just kind of, you never miss with it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting, but it's not worth it. I got the $12 one.
Question, when you play clips, can you do the echo thing on a clip?
Only if we know ahead of time.
Okay, because like you see where I'm going with this, right? Can we do echo Jack?
Oh, you mean like Jack, do that as an echo?
Yeah.
Yeah, we would just have to do it ahead of time. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering if it was possible.
Although if I ever get that Third Man Records guitar pedal, I could wire it into the system. Mm-hmm. I would have to, I'm pretty sure I cannot layer effects with this. You never know. Bummer. I could look into it. But we can just, you know, make one. Jack! So they get hired, but they have to, like, work. This is where, like, I thought it was, as a kid, I kind of really remember. Because they're not very good at first, or they don't seem very good.
Yeah, and, like, you can tell that they're not. And then the guy kind of is kind of like, hey, pick it up. But then that's when he's all like, oh, well, if we get paid, we work better when we get paid. Then they get hired.
So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty visual and everything. And I really recommend, I think this is a great first episode of Little House. Like, if you want to get somebody right into Little House, I guess, you know what, honestly, the first, like, four episodes of Little House should get you into Little House, like, right
away. I mean, I think that this episode actually is one of the first ones I ever saw.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how they have to put so much faith in each other, you know, to, like, not slip it up.
And they're, like, totally strangers.
Yeah, Charles met this guy 12 hours ago in the middle of, like, while camping out and eating beans. This is, like, crazy. All right, so Carolyn calls, like, a town meeting, basically, with the women. And say, come to my house. The house is still so new, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I'm going to go put on a white skirt, and I'll be right out.
Good morning, ladies. Ladies, may I have your attention, please? Well, I'm glad so many of you could come.
I feel like there should be more people there. I don't know. I mean, how many farms could there be? But
right.
I thank you for it. We all have the same problem. Feeding our families next winter.
Being poor.
Yeah. You've shown by coming here today that you think we'll all fare better if we work together. Does anybody want to say anything?
Yes, I do.
Dude, this lady sucks.
Like I said before, no, I'm just kidding.
I'd like to say that I don't think it'd be sensible to try and harvest any of that wheat, if that's what we're going to do.
That's what we're going to do.
Shut up. How about you shut up?
Well, my sakes, it's all lying flat on the ground.
I know it's lying flat on the ground.
When the twig is bent, it can never grow straight.
Thanks, Jake. It's laying on the ground.
I didn't say it would be easy to harvest it.
Easy? Gracious, I just don't think we can.
We can, if we want to badly enough.
How?
We'll have to go into the fields, pick up a few stalks at a time by hand, rake some of it, Put it into sheaves so that it will dry out. Then thresh it.
And how do you expect to thresh that wheat?
The same way Ruth did. And she gleaned until even. And then she beat out that she had gleaned. With flails and winnowing.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Is that a Bible thing that she just quoted?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's in the Bible.
Yeah, I don't recognize that. But
in the Book of Ruth.
That's why they're not like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah. that's what I would say. Is that like a Bible thing?
We have to decide now. Shall we put it to a vote with a show of hands? All those in favor.
Oops.
All in favor.
I was kind of like, where is this going?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this could work. Let's, oh no. Again, looks like Magical Mystery Tour.
Yeah, it kind of does.
This is a long shot. Holy cow, that's a long shot.
That's actually pretty appropriate to work in some George Harrison today, because not the day that we air it, but the day right now that we are recording it actually would have been his birthday.
Oh, I didn't know that it was his birthday.
Yeah.
We should have the Beatles' birthday song.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, it's me too. Actually, you know what? If people want to like reach out to us and, you know, have us do, you know, silly shout outs, we might do it. I don't know. I can't guarantee it, but, you know, it's a fun idea. If somebody had sent it, it's like, hey, could you say happy birthday to my mom? Like, happy birthday. But yeah, like, they're just complaining, and I'm going to play.
Well, really, only the one is complaining. She's just like the wettest blanket of all time.
Yeah.
A minute. Do you have any?
I like that little, like, if you have any, because it's like, you know she doesn't.
Yeah.
Call them sheaves. This is a waste. I'm not going to get enough to make any flour. In winter, we're all going to go hungry.
She's like, I just want to make my own zine.
We certainly will go hungry, Willa, if we all work like you do. You're going to have to try harder.
You see how dirty look that she gave Carolyn just for like a microsecond?
We're all going to go hungry. We certainly will go hungry, Willa, if we all work like you do.
Look.
You're going to have to try harder.
I wish Willa kind of stuck around.
She could have been kind of like an adversary for Caroline.
Yeah, the wet blanket. So we have, let's see, we're going to get into some of the chaos of the episode.
Hi, Jacob. Charlie. I need some capstone.
All right. What are you doing with all the dynamite?
I'm a powder monkey. Oh, it's just like double jacking, you know.
Jack.
Not too many men want that kind of work, and anytime I want a job, I most times can get it.
Well, I can see why.
Well, the wife made me quit. She said she'd be able to sleep better nights, you know. So I took up wheat farming. Wheat farming. You don't get blown up that way. You just get hailed out.
This guy just reminds me of, like, Chris Hassler.
That's funny.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
What does powder monkey do?
That's just something. What does powder monkey do?
Jack!
I wish they addressed him more.
Oh, I'll show you. Right. Stick of dynamite, right? You can drop it, you can burn it, you can step on it. Nothing.
That's not necessarily true. I saw Lost. I don't know if you ever saw Lost, but somebody blew up.
Make it explode. You need one of these and a fuse. You stick it on the end and you got to crimp the cap so it won't fall off.
You know, we got a tool for doing that, but he won't use it.
It's called pliers, invented in like 100 BC. Jeez. It's kind of weird because they're like, at this point, they're like, huh, I could blow up a town with that.
Yeah. Right. Paul's like, I saw this really cool thing when I worked at the quarry, and maybe we should blow the town.
That's something I asked Dean Butler, is like, if they're going to blow up the facades at the end.
That would actually be really funny.
So I asked him what's going to be, of, like, what are you going to do with them all? Because it's over when it's over. He's like, I don't know. Like, he seemed uncomfortable with that question. Kind of like, well, as long as they're not in my garage.
Maybe was it San Ivar can just put it in his basement or whatever.
Exactly. You know, maybe he is like prepared for something like this. He collects facades of.
Yeah.
He's got the Brady house. What a weird collection.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, what a weird guy. And I'm like, well, we did just make this up for him.
Yeah, what a weird exactly. What a weird guy.
With this personality trait that we totally just made right. up. Yeah.
Like, why is he so obsessed? He's obsessed with television shows, facades. He's the church from Dr. Quinn. All right, I'm just going to go over these because there's a lot of booming. We see a lot of working going on, and Charles's hands are, like, just blistered like crazy. And you wrote, like, why doesn't he wear gloves? And I'm wondering, I don't know, I kept thinking, like, you know, leather kind of gets gross when you get sweaty. So I wonder if that's why. But also, leather gets really hot. So I don't know.
But it just looks so painful.
I feel like...
And then Jacob hands him the canteen, and then he, like, hands it back, like, here's your bloody canteen.
But also, I wonder why they wouldn't, like, leather wrap the handle of the sledgehammer.
Yeah, it's like, it seems like they would do something to make it more comfortable.
What do you think that thing's made of? I mean, on the inside, it's not just like a leather sack, right?
Is it like steel on the inside or something?
I don't know. When I was a kid, I had one and it was like a steel thing. And I don't know why I had one, but it was metal on the inside. It was probably aluminum, which explains a lot. I like this guy, the guy who plays Jacob.
I was just looking it up, like, okay, so canteens. It says primitive canteens were sometimes made of hollowed out gourds or were bags made of leather. Later canteens consisted of a glass bottle in a woven basket.
Oh, that makes sense.
The bottle was usually closed with a cork stopper. So I guess it's glass covered with leather.
It just seems, maybe? You know. Seems kind of crazy. It's like your iPhone is covered in glass, slippery glass.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy.
Hold it.
There's this one. It's 1880 canteen made of copper, apparently.
Break.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would taste funny. Like, I don't know if... but no, they make copper cookware, so...
Yeah.
A little water.
How is your hand?
Just a little stiff, that's all. Forget it.
Just a little stiff and bloody.
I worry I do it worse next time.
You want to worry? Worry about the drilling contest and how we're going to win it.
Us?
Us.
So, yeah, there's a drilling contest. I think they win $50. I mean, you can win $50. I'm going to go to this scene where it really does look a lot like MASH. I really love the way this scene looks. We have the guy in the background, too.
I also really like, because I brought up before that, like, I like the characters that we have in here. I like kind of, like, the rapport between these three. So I kind of like how they're spending time and, like, talking. And it just has, like, a really nice feel to it. And I know that Jack dies, so we don't see him again, but I wish that we would have seen Jacob again, especially since he apparently lives around Walnut Grove.
I'll never let go.
I mean, it could have been like, you know, we have all these episodes in the show where it's like the Ingalls are like best friends with some family that we've never seen before and we'll never see again.
Yeah.
But I'm like, why couldn't like Jacob and his family be one of those, you know, family friends that come up again?
He really looks like such the character from the 70s, too. Like, I mean, he really would be perfect on the show. What does it say up there? No bags, no bell? No
belt?
No bags, no belt? Belt?
Why? What does that mean?
I don't know. It's, maybe the person who wrote it was Dumb Abel.
My letter is T. My sound is T. Ta. Ca. T. Cat.
Jack!
Yeah, I don't know what this sounds. No bags, no bells. No.
Nothing, just thinking. About home and the wife and the kids.
I don't think so.
I just about finished supper now. The dish is done. Three little girls will be getting ready for bed.
So they all talk about their family. He has a kid on the way. Jacob does. Any day now. And we've already met Jack's kid. Jack, little Jack. Double Jack. And it's nice. It's like, you know, anywhere where Charles goes, you kind of, he meets friends and.
Jack kind of has like a little Hank scarf.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that right from the beginning. He kind of has the pretty cool style about him.
Mm-hmm.
Even his hair, it's kind of, you know. There's no thought involved, but it looks good.
He's pulling it off.
Yeah. All right, so we're back in Walnut Grove. Look at these little kids. These kids. Never seen him before.
I'm Mrs. Eleanor Jacobson. Have I got a letter, please?
Thanks, sir.
That's why I didn't say, like, mail day! So Caroline gets a letter. She's going to read it. There's like a ton of money, like just sending cash through the mail.
I was just going to say that seems so crazy.
If you look closely, those are Harry bucks. And hey, look who's like sitting with them.
Jack!
So she opens up the letter. She's like,
my letter is T.
Dear family, I was just saying to one of my new friends that 100 miles is not a long distance.
I love that Jack is there. You know?
I know, he's part of the family.
Right.
Except when it lies between you and the ones you love.
Mary looks like she's going to drop Carrie any second now. Carrie cannot look more comfortable.
I visit with you each day in my thoughts, and I count the hours until we can be together again.
I think she self-censored that line.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way with the hesitation.
Take good care of each other. Know that I am well. And love you all very much. Charles.
He's like, oh, the kids just started school. I can get away with it.
Look at these two. I mean, they're adorable.
Well...
Laura feeds the letter to Jack.
Jack!
Oh my god, my Alexa. It's like listening to me.
Pa's all right. Now we have to get back to work.
How much money do you send? Guess that's none of our business, huh?
I would be kind of curious, like, how much he's making.
Yeah, I mean, if we look there, I mean, it looked like a few $5 bills. Like, let's take a closer look. I mean, it's at least 4 or 5 bills.
Yeah. It's a nice little handful of cash.
And that looks like Abraham Lincoln. So actually, those might be tens from back then.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be like $50. Yeah. So we go over to Jack's family.
Look at that. He spelled the very first word wrong. D-E-R-E, dear.
My letter is T. My sound is T.
And one G in Peggy.
I'm like, he doesn't know how to spell his wife's name.
And she's like loving it. It's like a flirt, you know? It's like, ah, oh, this man.
This illiterate fool.
My letter is T. My sound is T.
By the way, the kid has probably the best line of all time. And I did clip it, but it just doesn't... I don't know, it's not worth clipping. But it is kind of funny.
The best powder monkey line.
Oh, look at that.
He's a powder boy.
He spelled the very first word wrong. D-E-R-E, dear. And one G in Peggy.
Spelling's for girls.
You're
Spellings for girls. What's that, Abel?
My letter is T. My sound is T.
It'd be funny if, like, in a future episode, we have this kid at school doing that with Abel.
Well, you know what? Actually, if we do the Abel episode, school mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Have, like, you know, readings for girls.
That would work there. It's a crossover. Come in handy.
It's actually a crossover clip. Thing really, it's never been done before, you know, to actually go and review different episodes and use clips from each one of those episodes. It's pretty innovative. So I was going to clip this, which is ridiculous, but it's he's just so nuts. Wait,
I'm gonna set this the up. Powder monkey line, right?
Wait, when he's yelling, it's Monday, but
okay.
I was listening to. I'm going to play music behind it because it's so crazy. I just have to find a song to actually. Sorry. I'll do Change the World. Well, Change the World is a little bit. I'll do Dig Love.
Tomorrow's Wednesday, and we've done nothing yet. Come on, let's get to work.
Ha! It's just so unhinged.
I don't know. It's like, and they're like so entertained by him. You know,
I'm gonna do that on Monday. We'll be like, it's Monday, the day after tomorrow is Wednesday.
This is kind of funny if you listen to Jacob's response.
One of these days, he's going to blow this whole quarry off the map.
He'll be out of work if he do.
You're not too smart, are you, buddy? We'll be out of work if he do. Yeah, that's the joke.
Let's get to work!
Maybe we should play that in the beginning of the episodes. Let's get to work.
One of these days, he's going to blow this whole quarry off the map.
He'll be out of work if he do.
Congratulations.
You did it, buddy. Good for you.
Hey, how about the three of us having a foot race? That's how you tell a good man when he's got bounce at the end of the day. Hey, now, Charlie, Jacob, you're keeping bad company. Stop.
It reminds me a little bit of, like, the way Charlie Chaplin described his relationship with his brother Sid, and the way that, I don't know, it just seems kind of like really kind of crazy. And Charles acts like a kid here. You know, he's easily falling into like being.
Yeah, I was just going to say that little how he kind of like goes to kick at him. Like, I was like, that's very playful. And that's a side of Charles that we don't see a lot.
He's kind of rowdy here, you know, even.
Yeah.
Hey!
Back in Walnut Grove, the women are collecting the money.
And I guess the Ingalls just get to keep all that wheat, huh?
Yeah, right. I think they do mention that they will divvy it up at some point. Divvy up.
Are they going like field to field and like doing all of their wheats?
Yeah, you would think so, but it looks like they're just kind of concentrating on the Ingalls.
Right. Because then I'm kind of like, why should like the Ingalls have to share their wheat? But I guess, yeah, maybe they just go like farm to farm and.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. So they're lifting rocks and there's all types of cool things.
I need a fix because I'm going down, down to the bits that I left uptown. I need a fix because I'm going down.
So just moments of work. This I always like the way she looks here. It's like we don't get to see this Caroline too much. Like the disheveled, sweaty, tired.
You can really tell her hair is short.
Yeah.
Hair.
And they're getting their stuff done, which is really great. Like you see how they're doing it. We get the second assembly line in the first three episodes. I don't know if we ever see this again in the entire series. But
he had like a real like Henry Ford fetish at the beginning, I guess.
He totally did. It's like assembly line. Charles invented the assembly line. And Caroline learned it from Charles. And you know, Charles and Jacob enter the contest where they can win $50. It's a pretty tense thing. I was watching it when I was a kid and I was loving it. That's fake Almanzo.
Just, that's the Great Value brand.
Where'd you get this hole up here? Is that like from a gunshot?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Let's see. Charles wins. I'll play the last few seconds of it because it's really like loud.
Go! 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 Go!
He's the only one yelling like go all the time.
I need a fix because I'm.
Actually, I wonder if.
I need a fix because I'm going down, down to the bits that I left uptown. I need a fix because I'm going down.
You win. Yeah, the timing was right.
You win. We win. How are you two Nancys?
They're like embracing.
Yeah. But you know, $50, like, you know, using your inflation calculator, what was $100? We were just talking about it. It was like $2,800, right? So
right.
It's like $1,400 they just made. So $700 each.
Is...
So $700 each. It's a heck of a lot of money.
I'm trying to type into my it didn't type in. It was like, you need to enter numbers. I had numlock on. I hate when that happens.
My letter is T.
$1,441.
There you go.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
So let's see. We have
Jack
watching them, and he's just all like, I don't know. He's I'm not going to say he's giving them a hard time. I don't know. He's just being like a loud guy. I don't really.
I mean, he's being kind of like some playful. Jovial ribbing, I guess is how I would put it.
And I'm sorry, just give me a sec here for reasons I cannot disclose. So, yeah, he starts yelling at them.
Hey! Big winners, right?
That's right!
Hard rock miners, right?
Right!
You were lucky! That's all!
Oh.
Aha!
Uh-huh.
A real hard rock miner wouldn't let you carry his.
I can do better, wait. The whole scene just needs to be done right.
Hey! Big winners, right?
That's right!
Hard rock miners, right?
Right!
You were lucky, that's all!
Uh-huh.
Aha! A real hard rock miner wouldn't let you carry his.
also, like, where did Jack go?
Sorry, wait, you have to wait for the clip to end. God, Rose, stop crying.
Okay, so, like, where did Jack go? Like, he just, like, disintegrates.
Right. He's just a big smoke ring. Remember Charles blows the smoke rings? That's what he... Wait, I can't play the explosion again without... He just vanishes.
That's just crazy, right?
Jack! Jack! Where's the boat go? Jack! Jack! There's a boat! Jack! There's a boat! Jack! Jack!
Alright.
But seriously, though, he just, like, disappears. It's crazy.
It's just like, bloop.
Hey, and thanks for a good job. And here's your 25 for winning the drill off. And Jack Peters' pay. Say a word to his wife for me when you give it to her, will you?
Jack!
It's especially sad that he died, too, because he had that thing where he was telling them about being a powder monkey and how he used to do it, but his wife made him give it up because it was too dangerous, and then he died doing it. Like, that's sad.
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised they didn't make him into, or any of these guys, into drinkers. I would imagine you shouldn't be doing this job under any influence,
right?
But I would imagine,
I'm sure people did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're like, it's all the way I can relax.
That actually is one thing about Little House. I think that often people seem, like, too sober, and that, like, I think there was a lot more drinking going on in the 19th century than, like, they make it look like on this show a lot of times.
Well, in a lot of ways, as you well know, it's it was safer to drink beer than it was water very often. So, you know, cheers. So let's see, they're all walking home. Jacob's at his house, and they're all like, see you around. Like, you know, there's really no
bye.
Bye. Hey, that looks like Bandit.
It kind of does, except blacker, right? Or wait, no, more white. Wait, I'm trying to remember Bandit. Is he mostly white or mostly black?
He was exactly like that dog. No, I don't know. I mean,
he was more white, wasn't he? Now I have to look him up because I can't. I feel like
that's
it.
I feel like that's Bandit.
Bandit is like all white with a black head.
I don't know why.
That's like reverse Bandit. That dog is like white head with black body.
What is that from Superman and Seinfeld? What was it? Like the reverse.
Oh, the Bizarro.
It's a Bizarro Bandit.
This Bizarro Bandit.
Bizarro Bandit.
It's a boy.
This guy's like Bizarro Isaiah. Yeah. I like the Bizarro concept. We can probably apply that to quite a few people.
Yeah.
Look at this, like, road that's been paved here from all the trucks that we drive up and down.
It's pretty
like,
funny.
What else would break that? You know, like, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right, like wagon wheels wouldn't make it that wide like that.
Like really wide ones. I don't think they had really wide ones. So let's see, Charles goes and speaks to Jack's family. And the son was like just obviously visibly upset and goes and speaks to what is the kid's name? Do you know?
In the notes you wrote Danny. Is that his name? Did they call him that?
It's such a typical Irish name. I don't know. Danny boy. Danny boy.
I only live about 10 miles from here. I thought I might stop by and see how you're getting along every once in a while, huh?
That never happens. He went to Jake's for those highlights in his hair.
Look, maybe you and your mom could come out and visit me and my family sometime.
You keep your eyes off my mom.
Got a lot of good fishing around our place.
I hate fish.
Y'all right, Mr. Ingalls?
This kid's got a head of hair.
Come over.
But yeah, those are like those natural, like, I like to surf all day type of highlights.
Oh, just win.
That's not sanitary.
Now my pa died. Got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do.
Kid almost seems like he's excited for it.
You know? Whoa.
You don't think so?
No. I just like, because I was trying to, what was I looking up? Oh, I was trying to figure out what his name was on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
And Eve Brent, the actress who played Elna Jacobson,
mm-hmm.
she was in an episode of Frasier, and I can totally place it. Huh? Yeah, when in the first season, whoa.
Whoa.
Buckle up. No, just buckle up. Frasier, season one, episode three.
Oh, really?
I can't make this up. Whoa, yeah, when they go to the timber mill.
What are the... Wait, what?
Isn't that... That's... I'm pretty sure it's season one, episode three.
Wow. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it is. Bananas. Yeah, Dinner at Eight is what it's called. That's really weird. So, what a coincidence.
So now what we need to do is find somebody in Highway, right? In season one, episode three.
Well, you know what's crazy, though? She was in Highway, and that's what I was looking for, because I was like, oh, what did she do in Highway? But then I'm like, wait, she was in Frasier. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I recognize her. Okay, so Highway to Heaven, she was in three episodes.
Again, three. It's the magic number.
What three episodes, though? Okay. Oh, she was in something called The Monster, which I actually had just seen recently. The Hero. I'm not sure I remember that one. Yeah, that's right. The Reunion. So there's this episode when they go to this high school reunion, Mark's high school reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings Jonathan since they're a couple.
No, we only need one bed.
Yeah, that's her. I totally recognize her.
That's She's really like funny.
And she's like this woman who's kind of part of their, you know, mission that time or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and she was also in Frasier. That's pretty crazy. But unfortunately, on Highway, it was not a season one, episode three.
What about season three, episode one?
Season three, episode 20, unfortunately. Bummer.
Maybe if we watch it and we put it into the logical viewing order.
Ah, yes, of course. Of course. If you watch them in the right order,
but you know
this
what?
Actually is season one, episode three.
What are the odds that two shows, right, that you had no idea that you would like, you know, as a kid,
right,
would end up having the same actress just randomly in a one-off in season one, episode three of each
That's
series.
So crazy.
That is kind of nuts.
She also was in Divorce Walnut Grove Style. She was the lady at the store who said like she had a late husband, and Almanza thought she meant that he died. But then she was like, no, he's always late.
But what about, I don't have it right here.
Jack!
Good old Jack. See, that would have been a good opportunity for her to come back. I remember you.
But anyway. That was my random little, I was surprised. Oh, no, I was still trying to figure out what that kid's name was. That's what I started looking for. And then
it's probably Danny.
Then I got all sidetracked.
So he basically invites him to a barbecue and they have this little moment.
Yeah, it is Danny Peters.
So Charles comes home. Even this, we don't get shots this far from the little house. I mean, look at this. This is nuts. And it's kind of cool that he's coming home with the horses.
Wait, so then he does pick up the same horses. So, like, why are they different horses later?
Are they the same horses?
Do we see their faces?
No. Well, we'll see. Look how far the outhouse is. Like, I mean, I'd want it to be as far as possible, right?
Right. Keep the smell away, right?
But this... just looks really, really far. Sometimes it always looks like it's right here. I think it's been moved several times.
Can you imagine getting up in the middle of the night and you're like, I have to pee.
Right.
I don't want to walk like a mile.
I don't want to do it now. I don't want to do it and I'm inside.
It's like when you wake up, you have to assess, like, okay, do I really have to get up and go? Or can I make it?
Oh, yep. That's the same horse as before.
Yeah, so when did they get the ones with the white on the face? Hmm.
Charles runs right into Jack's arms.
Jack!
This is always sweet. And, like, we care so much immediately, right? These horses are, like, best friends.
The horses are just like, cool, we get to live here again.
Right. What's this pile of rubbish here, you think?
I don't know. Like, that's just very twiggy.
Yeah, just a twig pile. That's it. We did it.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah. I was thinking if we had to choose a theme song for the show, out of all the ones that we've played, which do you think kind of sums up Landed Nation?
You're going to make me think about this.
Well, I can tell you which one I think, which is...
Okay, I was kind of inclined to think that too.
Because it's what we're doing. We're changing everything.
We're changing the world one episode at a time.
You know, I have to watch... I wonder... All right. Sorry, I'm... blabbering on. I'm gonna play the credits with
that.
Yeah, we'll see what that looks like, because I think that might work.
I'd love to change the world. Oops. But I don't know what to do. So I'll leave it up.
It's perfect.
It kind of like she was running as I was picking up too.
And it cuts off at like one of those moments.
That worked.
Well, I guess I could stop the recording. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for doing this. People should go over to Landed Nation on Facebook.com, or rather Facebook on, what am I talking about? Landed Nation on Facebook, and or you can go right to LandedNation.com. We have other podcasts. We have Walnut Grove Cast, but we also have Dr. Quinn Cast, which touches upon all of the episodes of Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman,
which is, I think, the best podcast in the world. Yeah. Award winning.
And, you know, we play a lot of clips there, but I don't know, they're really focused just towards Dr. Quinn for the most part. But we are venturing out.
Yeah, I mean, we're working in, like, a lot of the music is the same that we're using. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what I kind of like. You know, we kind of like we grow and we bring all of our clips to all of the shows whenever.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, like, when we first started Dr. Quinn Cast, like how much it's changed since then, just because it's like we got the clips and then we started like playing music and everything.
She sure did.
It's kind of different. I mean, I think it was good from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that it was well done and stuff, but. We're kind of taking on more of sort of like a synthesis of mediums.
The clips kind of just kind of brought it to a different level, I think. And I think Sure Did is exactly the first big one.
Yeah, that was the one that really took off. Yeah. And then we also have a lot of like the inside jokes, you know, that are developing.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is really satisfying, too. Mm-hmm. That I mean, for example, I love that I have people walking around associating Subway with Sully.
Yeah, like...
like, I mean, that's just, like, hilarious to me.
What I like about that the most is we don't have a quote. We, like, we don't have a clip, you know? So you really just have to kind of listen to what we're talking about. Or, you know, your jokes. And, Subway and Sully, definitely.
And I'm sure Atlanta Nation will get some inside jokes that'll take off, too.
Let's hope. It'll need it. No, it doesn't need it. But thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it. And I will talk to you next time.
Bye.